Hey everybody, and welcome back to Tax Sale Insiders. I am Rachel Seidensticker, the COO over here at Tax Sale Resources, and I am joined again by Brian Seidensticker, our CEO over here at our suite of companies. Thanks, Brian, for being back. So,
hi, Rachel. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Always good. I always like getting into these overviews because we really are trying to dig into a state by state, what our understanding is and what your understanding more specifically is of each state. And so always good, I think, to get your perspective and what you know, especially since you have interviewed, you know, different attorneys in the space. And we talk with investors all the time. So I think we have a decent feel of that. So yeah, it's good
Definitely
to have you.
No shortage of excitement in the tax industry, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. This state will be a good one to kind of talk more about Tyler versus Hennepin. Definitely want to start off always. We got to get in a better habit of saying we are not attorneys. We are here to just share with you the information that we've gleaned through the years of being in the tax sale industry space, but we're not attorneys. So this is not legal advice. Go find an attorney to talk to in Illinois. So
yeah, for sure. I think the other caveat probably should start throwing out there more, only because it's becoming much more common, is, you know, what we talk about today is subject to change in many states, especially over the next few years, directly as a result of the Tyler Hennepin Supreme Court case. And so before you go jump in investing any money, you know, make sure with a local attorney that things haven't changed from what we're going to talk about today as well. So I guess two caveats we need to make sure we mention going forward.
that's totally valid. I'm glad you brought that up. All right, well, let's dive in head first into the great state of Illinois.
Illinois,
yes, here we go.
Oh boy.
It's got some layers to it. So we'll peel back the layers of this onion and see what we find in the middle. So
let's do it.
Okay. Give us just your sense of just a quick overview of the state of Illinois and what makes it maybe different from other states across the union.
Well, I guess every state has its nuances. I mean, it's a bid down, you know, state as far as interest level that you earn. There's a few states like that. I think the biggest difference is the interest that you bid down on is actually 6 month interest. And not an annual interest, and it works more like a penalty process. So day one is that interest, and then day whatever 180, you know, 6 months, then it, you know, goes, it hits again. So it's different in how it's calculated, for sure. There's also a nuance of, you know, the state kind of has two processes. Is there's Cook County, which is Chicago, and then there's the rest of the state. And so those processes are slightly different between the two. And so those are some of the things that make Illinois unique, you know, beyond, you know, well, there's other, this isn't also uncommon, but the notifications required during the lien redemption period isn't always the case in many states. And what I mean by that is in most states, when you buy a lien, you're really done doing anything until the redemption period ends. And in Illinois, you've got to, you know, file certain things at certain times in order to make sure that that lien is still valid and enforceable. And so there's more maintenance. The liens are a little more needy than they are in some other states.
I like that term, needy. I think a good warning, right, to newer investors, especially going into this space specifically. So,
yeah.
So there's two types of leads, right, or sales. There's liens and deeds, correct? Do you want to dive into the like how to buy tax liens specifically first? We'll start there.
Yeah, so the lien sales, well, there's really kind of two types of lien sales, but lien sales, you know, it's basically as soon as there's a delinquency, the taxes are sold, right? The bidding method is a bid down percentage, right? Used to be started at 18%. They changed that a few years ago. Now it starts at 12 when you bid down. Again, that's a 6-month interest, and so the annualized rate of that is actually double. So if you bid it down to 6%, you're actually getting 12% a year. If you win it at 12%, you're actually getting 24% a year. Not to say many get sold at 24% a year, but you're buying a lien. And then and not to get too far down that rabbit hole, but you don't own the property. Obviously, you just have a lien on the property or interest in the property. You then need to actually do certain things. I think the initial thing is what's called a take notice. It's basically a notification that you now own that lien, right? And there's there is some waiting that you can do. And if, as of right now, if nothing happens during that redemption period, if nobody redeems it, you can start a foreclosure process, which is an administrative foreclosure process in Illinois. And that culminates in the issuance of a tax deed at the end of that process. So you're not buying the property. The second type of lien auction is called their scavenger sale. So anything that doesn't sell in the normal lien auction gets resold in the scavenger sale. And I think a lot of counties, they'll compile unsold liens for several years, and then they'll have a scavenger sale. And what they do is, instead of the opening bid being an accumulation of all the taxes and fees, they just reduce that, right? So the theory there is that there is inevitably going to be some instances where the lien amount is is more than the value of the property when you take all the other things considered. And so nobody's ever going to buy those, zombie liens or upside down liens. And so in this case, what they do is they drop those down to where the lien amount is, the tax amounts, all that's wiped out. The lien amount, it ends up being much lower. And so the prospect of actually making money from that lien goes up in that particular instance. So that's the two type of lien auctions. Now, the stuff that doesn't sell at any of those auctions, can be foreclosed on by the county directly. And then the county can sell those properties. And that's what is the deed auction that does happen in Illinois. And so theoretically, Illinois is a tax lien and a tax deed state. But in reality, there's very, very few deeds sold in Illinois. And so it's certainly not like Florida or many other states where every lien that's sold, if it doesn't redeem, is going to end up in a tax deed auction. That's not the case in Illinois. It's only a very select few that nobody bought the lien at any other stage along its journey. So the quantity is just much, much fewer in Illinois. So there's a kind of a high level review.
Okay, awesome. I think the only things I would maybe add really fast would be, most of the lien auctions are handled by a particular company called RAMS. And you can basically participate by proxy. So that's kind of an interesting thing for Illinois to keep in mind. And they also handle the deed auctions as well. The deed auctions also open a very small amount. So that's something to take note at, like $50 or something like that. Yeah. So with the scavenger sale in mind, do over-the-counter really exist in the state then?
No, I guess in theory they shouldn't, right? And I'm not aware of any that do. I've also found throughout my years of asking folks and learning about the industry, I don't know that for certain or fact. I'm not an attorney in Illinois, but understanding how the process works, there really shouldn't be any, at least no over-the-counter lien lists, right? There might be some properties that end up in the over-the-counter deed scenario on a rare instance, right, where the county decides they're going to foreclose on the property and sell it as at a deed auction, and maybe it doesn't sell. Well, now who owns that deed? I think the county probably does. There's going to be far and few between of those, but it's not like other states where if it doesn't sell at auction, it gets put on a county held or a jurisdiction held list. We call that an over-the-counter list. That doesn't happen in Illinois. They just save it. You can't buy it, and then it gets offered at a secondary auction. That's the scavenger sale.
Okay. Yeah. And caveat, Cook does not fall in the, like you mentioned this, but also as far as how they handle their sale, they do not use RAMS. So they are in their own category as far as they're also the largest sale in the country. So there's that. But
Yes, yeah. And, yeah. Chicago follows its own rules, roughly similar to the rest of the state, but different enough that you wouldn't want to translate exactly what you do, you know, the rest of the state into, you know, Chicago. So, you know, definitely be aware that you will want to, if you talk to an attorney in Illinois, either make sure you know whether they're talking about Chicago, the rest of the state, or maybe they're one of the few that understand and can talk to both.
Yeah, yeah. Good tip. Really good tip. What would you say if you're a new investor kind of exploring the state? What would be a pro of Illinois maybe over another state, for example?
Well, historically, it's been the prospect of getting REO from liens that don't redeem, right? That has, you know, changed. And what that's changed to is still to be determined because it hasn't really been vetted out yet, or there hasn't been any new legislation. But they were, you know, Illinois is one of the states that were highlighted by Pacific Legal Foundation to not be compliant with the Tyler Hennepin Supreme Court case ruling. And so there's lots of discussion going on about what to do about that. So anyway, long story short, you know, the prospect of having REO is kind of at least hanging out there. Don't know if it's going to continue. Actually, the proposed solution, which is an indemnity fund, which we don't need to get into in uber detail, but would still leave that prospect there, right? Because they're finding a solution elsewhere. But that there's none of that's been decided as of today, so we don't know. The other potential upside, right, is the potential return, right? Again, it's 12% bid down, but that's doubled on an annualized basis. So the potential return is higher. You know, so those are kind of two of the biggest, I guess, pros, you know, going for auctions in Illinois versus other states.
Okay. Well, I guess conversely, what about cons, things that are big warning flags for Illinois specifically?
Well, the biggest one is the fact that you do need to do certain things with very specific verbiage at different steps along the way. And those things, right, are initially the take notices, right? It's basically notifying interested parties, hey, I've purchased this lien. And that has to have very specific language on it. And I've heard, I mean, I'm not active in Illinois. I've heard if you have the comma in the wrong place in those take notices, then when it comes to getting judgments for the REO, you might not get them. And so, you know, you need to be aware of that. And that's another way of saying, you know, if you're doing legal work like that, I highly, highly recommend engaging an attorney to help with that to make sure you don't get things basically thrown out due to small errors, you know, like that. And so the fact that you got to, you know, the liens again are in Illinois are a little more needy. So you got to provide them a little more attention along the way, as opposed to a, you know, buy it and forget it, you know, until it redeems at some point. That's one of them. Obviously the question mark in the air of, you know, is that REO going to continue? Right. So there's an unknown, right. That's definitely a con, right now. And then it's, you know, there's Chicago and then Chicagoland, which are collar counties, right. There's the, like that part of the state. And then the rest of the state is much more rural. And so, being able to, you know, invest on a large scale can be somewhat isolated to the Chicagoland and Collier County areas as well. The other thing to mention, right, for the, you know, online guys of Rams host the auction, but to my knowledge, they still call it online, but you show up to the county courthouse and they've got a bunch of computers set up and you're still pressing buttons. And so it may be a software, but it's not a software you can participate, you know, online with. So logistically it can be a challenge as well.
Yeah. Hence my, it's not online auction, but it's handled. Yeah.
Better to think of them as, you know, they say a proxy because you still have to send somebody to sit there and click a mouse. Mm-hmm. That has to happen.
Interesting. Very interesting in that regard. So the nice part is, though, even though you have to do that, the sales aren't all on the same day. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, it's not like you have to disperse 24 bidders in 24 counties in the same day.
Right. So. It's not Iowa. It's not Texas. It's not Georgia, where the logistics is manpower. That's not the problem in Illinois.
Yep. All right. Well, how about, do you have any kind of firsthand or know of any investing case studies? You know, like what would be a good model or something that you know of that is has been successful from start to finish in Illinois?
Ooh, well, that's a tough one because I'm probably short answer. I'm not going to answer that simply because the town of Hennepin, you know, what has worked historically doesn't going to translate to what's going to work going forward. I mean, historically, there were models of, you know, you target the right type of property and then the likelihood of getting, you know, REO is pretty high, right? And so if you want to build a real estate model, you could get a pretty good return if it redeems. If you build the right model and if it becomes REO, you know, the return's even higher. There was a lot of that advantage in Illinois, but who knows if that's going to continue. So I certainly wouldn't say now is a good time to go try to put that model together. It's kind of one of those, you kind of got to wait and see and how it flushes out before I would make any suggestions on what to do going forward. Either way, it looks like either they implement a tax deed auction or they implement an alternate solution. You know, real estate is owning the prospect of owning the real estate is a decent way to look at Illinois. Going forward, it's just a matter of how they're going to solve it and make it compliant with Tyler versus Hennepin. And so, anyway, I'm basically talking around having to answer that question directly on purpose. And so,
yeah. I think it's a good thing to consider, right? It doesn't need to make bidding there scary, but you need to consider it as far as you just don't know what decisions are going to come down the pike and how that will affect your purchases. So just being more cautious is more so than needing to be scared. Would right. that be an accurate statement? Okay.
That's very good point.
Okay. Let's see, any current trends? I know that you recently looked at data as far as the bid down results. Do you have any insights as far as what competition's looking like in Illinois right now?
Well, you know, because everything's kind of a question mark, there is a little bit of a change in Illinois. Typically, and I'm gonna remove this last fall because it's not a very good indicator. Typically, Illinois has gotten more and more competitive, you know, throughout the years, you know, where you've buying stuff at a 9% winning bid, which is an 18% year annualized, you know, return on the stuff that redeems, you know, was fairly realistic. Up until last year, that was harder and harder to find on the lean side. And, you know, so, you know, you had to build a you know, assumption that you're going to own some real estate in order to get, you know, models to work, especially with the cost of capital. I don't know if that'll continue being the case going forward. We'll see. I guess long story short, the data from this past year is a little hard to track. But if things get back to where they were before, it's going to be a pretty competitive state, not one that you can jump in and earn like double digit returns, you know, easy like you could, you know, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay. I think you touched on this, but just to kind of bring it home, any other legal considerations that investors should think about specifically in the state of Illinois?
What's special? Well, I don't know about any different, but to reiterate, Illinois is not a state that I would recommend going it alone, right? Because of all of the notifications that you have to do and this very specific format they have to be in and the exact wording that they have to have and on the exact date and how they have to be delivered, right? There's a lot of legal case law, you know, defining how that needs to be done. So it is not a state that I would recommend trying it. Like find a good attorney in Illinois, you know, I'd say partner with them, right? Get them to be on your team and helping, you know, from all the legalese aspect of things, that would be the biggest recommendation that I'd have.
Okay. Well, we know we can't advise from the legal standpoint, but what can tax law resources do for investors to help them get a foot in the door in the state of Illinois?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that we provide is the data, right? The fact that there's upcoming auctions, what's the auction list associated with that? When's that auction taking place? All of the detailed property information on the platform, right? So as far as underwriting, and I'll use Cook as an example, right? It's 50, sometimes 50,000 plus parcels, right? So if you're going to try to do all that individually, that's a nightmare. The other thing that we have in Cook, which is unique, is the history, the tax sale history of properties that are sold, what they sold for. Are there any other past liens on that parcel, et cetera? That is not an easy data set to compile. That is something that we have put together for investors, so we can certainly help from that perspective. There's we can certainly point in the right direction on some attorneys that know what they're doing there. And if you end up with REO, we can point you to some real estate professionals that deal with tax sale properties in Illinois all the time. And so we could certainly help from those perspectives.
Yeah, and I cut you off and I'm sorry, but one of the key pieces to that tax sale history information is also identifying where there's forfeitures or sale and errors. I think you touched on that earlier, and that's a big deal. Just to know where there might be issues or other invested parties on a parcel is important. So
yeah, I'm gonna, only because you reminded me, I'm gonna go back and talk about what are there some of the other unique aspects of Illinois. And one of the unique aspects, which is a huge advantage in pro for Illinois, is this concept of sale and error, which I'm only aware of one other state that has something like this, even though it's not used in the same way. But I guess, Arizona has an interesting statute about sale and error, but there's a lot harder to show an error in that sale in Arizona. So it's not really used in the same way. Like in Illinois, it's not a slam dunk, but in general, if something happens to that property, or the property doesn't turn out to be what you thought it was, you can file for what they call sale and error. Now, you're not going to get your redemptive amount out of those. You're going to get your capital back. But in every other state, it's a buyer beware scenario. And so if you buy something that burns down in the redemption period, tough, right? That's kind of the opinion of the state and counties as well. You made that risk, you made that investment, that you bear that responsibility, versus in Illinois, it was, hey, it burned down, you can file a sale and error, and at least you get your cash back from the county on that particular one. So that's a kind of a safety net, if you will, that doesn't exist in most states. And I totally forgot to talk about it, but it's a big deal because, being able to utilize that in Illinois can help you save from losing as much in those worst case scenarios.
Well, cool. Glad we got there.
Sorry.
Do we offer funding in Illinois? Can you speak to that at all?
Well, our capital programs that we have in Illinois, for tax sale properties is typically for the real estate side of it. It's not a really good product for lien buyers, but if you find yourself with REO or you want to buy an REO from another investor, which does happen in Illinois as a secondary market transactions, then we do have capital programs to help fund those transactions. And so if you find yourself in need on those, certainly reach out. If you're just looking for capital to buy at the lien auctions, our structure isn't a good fit for those.
That makes sense. All right. Well, is there anything, how do you think, what would you want to end on for investors to kind of consider for Illinois before we wrap it all up?
I'll say be smart or be aware, right? Mm-hmm. From a couple of perspectives, right? Knowing that there are such particular requirements on liens that you do buy, and the noticing you got to do, when you have to do it, even at the end of it, you have to do certain notices at certain times. And if you miss a date, then it's tough luck, right? I don't believe you can file for say an error for your mistakes. That's one end. The other end of it, of being aware, is just knowing that until like the Tyler Hennepin solution to that kind of plays itself out, whether it's legislatively, judicially, right, through court system, There's a bigger risk there than historically you've seen in Illinois. So be aware when you're buying, you know, of those two things for sure.
Okay. Well, great. I think that unless you have anything else to add, I think you've given investors a really great overview of Illinois. Definitely big things to consider with the Tyler Hennepin Supreme Court decision and what's coming down the pike. I know there's legislation that's passed already, that's been in the hopper. I mean, there's a lot happening, and that environment is changing rapidly, as you said. So
it is. It is. Yeah. Hopefully in the next 6 months or so, they'll have a pretty good idea of how it's going to play out. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again for your time. And as always, keep joining us here at TaxSale Insiders. We will continue to bring Brian or other professionals in the industry back to interview them on what's going on in the industry. Although it's a crazy little niche, there's always something exciting at play.
It is a rare time in the tax sale space with it being exciting with so much change.
Right. All right, Brian. Well, thanks again. Good luck out there.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yep. Happy investing.
All right. Good luck, everybody. Take care.